10. Here we are at the Royal Geographical Society for a table talk.
Hello. This is the Circular Marathon, the day where philosophers, artists, and... This is the Serpentine Marathon, a day where philosophers, artists, and scientists explore what work is, how it affects the world, how it is valued, and what it could look like in the future.
And my daughter's talking to me. Hello. I can see you.
This podcast season is all about work, and this production will be an exercise in applied labor. My producer, Andrea, and I will be completing the podcast within a single working day at the marathon itself. Our jobs include scripting, structuring, chasing participants, conducting interviews, editing audio, mixing, listening, and even getting into bed.
An agenda. Uh-huh. I've been getting into bed with you.
Okay.
I also went to interview you.
I'm Victoria Sin. I'm an artist, and in my work I often deal with the relationship between work and the performance of femininity. Things like emotional labor, often domestic labor, invisible labor, expectations that come with femme bodies, and how people move through the world as a result. So what is work? A very general definition of work is an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or a result. Living within capitalism means that compensation for work is wildly variable, depending on power dynamics and social infrastructures at play. Sometimes work is praised and highly compensated, while other work requiring more effort is expected and not compensated at all. So how do we value work? At this year's marathon, I'll be talking to participants about what work they do that is valued the least and how that can change.
17, what comes up for 19 is
testing.
What comes up for 19?
Sure thing. Testing, blah, blah, blah.
Nick Cernick is a lecturer in digital economy at King's College London.
Is that good or?
Perfect,
okay. Good.
He's on a panel about the future of work. Whether or not robots are taking over our jobs.
Whether or not they should take all of our jobs. And sort of how do we respond to those sorts of issues. So I'll be making an argument for things like a shorter working week. So 3-day weekend for everybody all the time. I'll also be making the case for something like a universal basic income. Basically trying to remove our dependency on wage labor as a means to survive.
So we're thinking today about like the value of labor, which obviously is very topical to what you've just said. Could you tell us what you think the most undervalued types of labor are?
Well, the way we recognize labor today is particularly through a wage, through money. And of course, there's a huge, huge amount of labor that goes unpaid. So I think that's sort of the most unrecognized labor. And this is typically work that is done for social reproduction. So it's things like childcare, it's things like cleaning and cooking in the home, it's things like elder care. I've actually done some research for a book I'm writing at the moment, and we've looked at the amount of unpaid labor hours that are done in a country versus the amount of paid labor hours. Mm. And in the OECD countries, it's anywhere from 40 to 50% of the labor is unpaid. So there's a huge amount of work that goes completely unrecognized by contemporary standards.
Yeah. And is this unrecognized within kind of like contemporary economic models?
It is. Now, there's some changes to this going on. So basically, it hasn't been measured for a long time. It doesn't count towards GDP. There's a very famous quote from an economist where he talks about, if you marry your housekeeper, this actually decreases GDP because you take it from wage labor to being unwaged labor. So I think that really shows the problematic aspects of the way we measure value nowadays. Mm-hmm. Now, this is changing somewhat. So in the past 20 years or so, there's been an increasing effort to measure this stuff. And there's a lot of work being done on that, both in Britain and some other countries as well. And it's starting to be recognized, but we're still sort of at the early stages of that.
Right. Do you think this has something to do with, like, who is performing these kinds of labor that are going unrecognized?
Absolutely. It's traditionally labor that's been done by women, and it's been something that has been completely unrecognized as a result of that. You get this sort of ideology of the labor of love. So this idea that, well, it doesn't count as economic value because it's done out of love rather than any compulsion. Now, that's, of course, entirely wrong. Even childcare, something that you do because you love your children, a lot of that can still be quite laborious and not particularly enjoyable. Yeah. So I think that we need to recognize that, you know, the ideology of the labor of love is completely wrong. And we need to also recognize the still, to this day, the gender division of labor that's involved there.
What do you think we can do to change this kind of like state of affairs?
So there's an old movement from the 1970s, particularly from Italian autonomous theorists, but it's also picked up here in the UK and in the US to a certain degree. It's called wages for housework, or the way they actually adapted it eventually was wages against housework.
Oh.
Their political project was to say that the work done in the home was work and it was deserving of a wage. And their argument was that this work should therefore be paid, maybe out of state taxation or something like that. Mm. But their political project was not simply to expand wage labor even further. It was ultimately a project to say that wage labor in general is shit, mm-hmm. And wage labor in general should be gotten rid of. So that's why you get the shift eventually from wages for housework to wages against housework, because the project there was to go against work and not just get a wage for it. Getting a wage for work was sort of the first step in that longer project.
What do you think the most undervalued work that you do is?
That's a good question. I feel quite lucky in that most of my work is quite well. I'm not in a bad position for this sort of stuff. I'm a white middle-class male, so I'm in a fairly privileged position for that sort of thing.
Oh, but you had the experience to go down the pit in the first instance.
On stage behind Nick is sign painter and gold leaf artist Archie Proudfoot. Painting the words by artist Recruit Tirvanit, ne travaille jamais, never work.
I wasn't shaken or nervous at all, but the excitement of it all.
Next, I speak to Stella Creasy.
I'm the Labour and Cooperative MP for Walthamstow in North East London. I've been here today to talk about what the future of the work is and what role politics have in that. And my fear at the moment that because everybody is so consumed by things like Brexit, we're not actually thinking about those big challenges about how the world is changing. And also when we do think about them, we apply our own experiences to them rather than the experiences of the next generation to come.
We're thinking today about the value of labour and how it's valued. I was wondering if you could say, from your perspective, what's the most undervalued form of work?
I think in this country in particular, we don't value care, and we don't value, and it's a very gendered conversation as well. And when I say care, it's not just about childcare, but also caring for elderly relatives, which all too often is done by women in this country. Mm-hmm. That isn't a call for women to do more of that. It's a call for us to recognise what impact that has on people's families and to fund it and value it properly.
How can we change that?
First and foremost, we can change when it comes to childcare. We can stop talking about it as a women's issue, because, forgive me, I did biology, and I'm pretty sure it takes two people to make a baby, and therefore they should equally be responsible for looking after it. Same thing for looking after parents, family relatives. One of the reasons why we need to rethink the future of work is because we are all living longer, because actually we recognise it's good for children to have both their parents around them at the same time, and there is therefore an economic as well as social case for doing that. So, you know, lads, pull your fingers out.
Lotti beans and herbs, spanakopita, which is spinach and feta phyllo. Well, I got here 7. I think my supervisor got here a bit earlier than that. Yeah, a long day. Lemon dressing, roasted carrots, and charms
of work. What's
the most undervalued work? I'd say, like, people who like clean buildings and stuff like that, they're very underappreciated, and everybody has this habit of, oh, they're paid to do that, which is so nasty to think that people do that. So I'd say probably those. Yeah.
And for you, what do you think's the most undervalued work that you do?
See, I'm going to sound like such a feminist, but I feel like being a woman enough, everybody undervalues everything you do. The littlest things you do, even by second nature, everybody just seems to think, oh, this is your job to do it anyway. And that's one thing that really irritates me. You're just supposed to push babies and look after the house, and then that's supposedly what we're here for.
Okay, I'm starting my lunch break, but I'm not going to be able to meet you because I really just need, I just need a brain break. So I'm going to watch that Adil Imam movie, Rahabu Kebab. So I'll try to catch you after, all right? Okay. Yeah, just finished.
Hello. My name is Nana Ahmad.
He's an object designer and part of the collective GCC, who are performing at the marathon.
We did a performance called GCC Lunch Break, where we sort of commented on the idea of the lack of breaks during work in general, and the fact that art and artists have become put into a work routine and are expected to work in a sort of more corporate environment than they used to, and playing on the fact of eating lunch at your desk and having very short bursts of breaks. Film we showed was Arhabu Kebab, which is translated into terrorism kebab.
Yeah.
It's a film from 1990, Egyptian film. And it's basically a man who tries to get something done in a bureaucratic office and can't, so he takes it over accidentally and holds everyone hostage. And the police ask him for his demands, and him and the hostages become friends, and they all demand for kebabs because it's a luxury, and the police almost start to refuse them and then eventually allow them to have their kebabs, and then their lunch during the siege becomes the most blissful moment they've had.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful, actually. I was wondering if you could say what you think the most undervalued form of work is.
I would say a lot of the work that goes unseen, especially that we take advantage of, people like trashmen, mailmen, people that get things done under our noses that we also kind of put them under our noses on almost on purpose.
Yeah.
I think that's extremely undervalued.
So what do you think is the least valued form of labor that you do?
A lot of things. I mean, a lot of the furniture I make is intentionally unnecessary.
Nice.
And I think it becomes necessary because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grander scheme of things, you could call that extremely, you know, not needed.
Great. Final question. What's your dream job?
My dream job would be to be a cruise captain of my own boat.
Nice.
That no one else is really allowed on.
What would it be called?
The Nanuet.
That's fabulous. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
So I have to get back to work now. I'll talk to you later.
Down in the dark, through the pinching seam, through the red vein, through.
My role is a CSA, Customer Services Assistant, and I'm just helping around people to get to their places they want to. I will say that the most undervalued way of work is a place where you are not respected. I am a 43-year-old lady who is here today in a great environment with great people, listening to amazing speakers, and I find myself very privileged. Outside this job, I work with people like refugees, migrants, and people who are really struggling. I see myself within a bigger family, which is the world we are living in. And within that context, I think I am very privileged. So I don't find myself undervalued or anything like that. I can combine this lovely job with my interest and pay my bills, you know. So what else can I ask for?
The marathon this year takes place across three spaces, in the Map Room and Ondaatje Theatre at the National Geographical Society, and at this year's Serpentine Pavilion, designed by Frida Escobar.
Like, I feel like I'm in like a marshmallow or like a cloud right now.
In the pavilion in Hyde Park, I get into bed with Beatrice Colomina. Beatrice is an architect by trade and also a thinker and writer based at Princeton University.
As a form of protest for the war and in a kind of marathon.
She's been asking people questions all day, as have I. But now it's my turn to ask her.
So I'm thinking a lot about like value and work, and it's also really nice that we are like both kind of working right now.
Yes, we
but,
are working.
But you know, working from bed is lovely.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you what you think the least valued form of work is.
Before we were talking about domestic work, which is not valued sufficiently, despite the fact that none of us will be able to function
absolutely
without it. So work that is less valued is work that is not being paid accordingly, no?
Definitely. Mm. And I guess like domestic work is often performed by like women and also like migrant communities.
Migrants, yes. And you know, in New York, and I'm sure in London you see all the time, people extremely qualified, they may have a master and they come from, I don't know, Colombia, let's say, mm-hmm. and they end up cleaning houses. And you're talking with these extremely educated people that have to do this kind of work. Yes.
And also, I can personally relate to that because both of my grandparents moved from Hong Kong to Toronto, and they both worked in hotels. My grandfather in the kitchen and my grandmother as a maid.
Yeah. So you know very well this.
So my follow-on question from that is like, how do you think that we can change the way that like domestic labor is valued?
Well, domestic work and also other kinds of work that you are saying that are underpaid. Several car drivers in New York had committed suicide recently in very public acts because with the arrival of Uber and or desire to pay less and less for what used to be a taxi service, well, a lot of people that were working in a limo company or in they cannot make a living. Mm-hmm. So we have to think about this. Of course, it's very convenient and to pay less, but we have to think about it in other ways.
Self-interest produced a society which, you know, the word that was used by the early anthropologists who worked with them is fiercely egalitarian. And when you have a society where there's no expectation of thanks or please or you have to give something where you have it, there's no point in really owning a great deal because somebody will just ask.
In a world that is constantly transforming, many things will fall through the cracks and be forgotten in the abyss.
My name is Wilson Ariyama, and my work consists of writing, image making, speaking, modeling occasionally. The list goes on, but whatever I'm able to do.
What work are you doing today at the marathon?
So the work I'm doing today is the speaking part. So for the marathon, I created a book of short stories around the past, present, and future of work and how it has evolved over time and how it plays out within cities. It's called A Working Miracle.
While we are talking, Wilson is still working, setting up his phone to film a story for his dazed Instagram takeover.
Cool. So I was wondering if you could tell us what you think the most undervalued form of work is.
Self-care. Or anything kind of related to the self-care of your mental health and well-being, because it's not easily quantifiable or trackable by other people's standards. So it's not something that would come up or be expected to be taken care of within most working situations, because, say, most work doesn't facilitate or allocate the time for such care. So when demands are made of you by others in whatever your work may be, a lot of times it will not consider that. So I think it's very undervalued.
Yeah. Is that the most undervalued form of work that you do personally?
Yes, I would definitely say that. Even by myself sometimes, in that it's just like, oh, like I can be really on some tight deadlines and really feel like, okay, I need to keep up with this and actually do it. Mm-hmm. But then it's be very important to oh, go and see some friends, or just take time out and go for a walk, or just something to kind of relax myself and make sure that I'm not too stressed or stretched even to the point that I might burn out or something.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think can happen to change the way that we value self-care, like in any working environment?
I think it's the way that we value time, because purely demanding people's time and even our own, like, I may demand time of myself that is inconsiderate to my well-being, where I may need to make time to actually sleep. And I think it's just the way that we value time in terms of obsessing over the short term as opposed to the long term, because it may not seem now that, oh, your 5-4 hours sleeps or even less are affecting you, but 5 years' time, 10 years' time, it'll rear its head in a nasty way. I think it really goes back to quantifying, because we've become really obsessed with data and the trackableness. Like within AI or technology, there's this, the importance of big data, and it's like, how can we quantify everything? A lot of times the stuff that cannot be quantified is deemed as invaluable to the focus on capital, because there's actual visible return.
Well, it's long gone, long gone. It's long gone, long gone.
Hi, my name is Joshua, and I'm an actor and a blues guitarist. So I'm just here on a visitor services role as an usher. Pretty relaxed, but pretty fun.
So I was wondering if you could tell us what you think the most undervalued form of work is.
Oh, I think, well, that really depends on how you define work. Speaking from personal experience, I would say just, you know, work in the house is quite undervalued, because when you're employed, you get paid for it, you know, so there's a certain value that goes along with that. When you're at home with, you know, mothers and fathers and people looking after sort of siblings and family members, you can never know if someone appreciates it, or you never know how much impact you're having when you're in the moment doing that stuff.
What do you think could happen to change the way that we value those things?
I think more of an emphasis can be put on it, you know, when we begin life, you know, respect for the household, respect for your, you know, parents, and just to underpin how much they do for you. And I think that should really be highlighted, especially in schools. And, you know, that should be a more of a cultural sort of shift in the paradigm. You know, at the end of the day, you can have money, you can have success, but I think we yearn for sort of being loved and being accepted. And I think that's something that needs to be taught from the very beginning.
Work is one of the things that is pretty universal in society. When you meet someone, one of the first questions you'll ask them is, what do you do? And by that, you will mean, what do you do for work? How your work is valued is directly related to how you are valued. If you are surviving in this world, chances are you are working. Whether or not your work is valued by others or even considered work is another story. And that often has to do with the social conditions that enable you to do the work you do. In a culture where the work you do becomes a defining aspect of your identity, this has the effect of reproducing the inequality that has placed individuals in that work in the first place. At the Marathon, most people agreed that the state of domestic and care work, often the work of migrants and women, needed to be compensated fairly and acknowledged as important work. The difference between financial value and respect for undervalued work came up a lot, as well as the fact that in our culture, these two often come as a package. So how do we as a society begin to respect things like domestic labor, care work, and self-care? I'll go back to something Joshua said to me.
We yearn for sort of being loved and being accepted, and I think that's something that needs to be taught from the very beginning.
So maybe next time you meet someone for the first time, instead of asking them, what do you do? Try asking them, what do you enjoy doing?
Hi-ho!
Down we'd go, the banksman would pull a lever, and down the cage.
But the reason why we hate Mondays, of course, is because the weekend is over, we have to go back to work. Most of us may enjoy aspects of our jobs, but most of us would probably would prefer to do something else other than work.
My work is not being valued.
No.
Thanks for listening. I've been Victoria Sin, and this was just some of the stuff happening at the Work Marathon, the Serpentine Marathon at the Royal Geographical Society in London. Listen out for more discussions, essays, and interviews from the 2018 Serpentine Marathon in future episodes of this podcast season. This podcast was produced by Andrea Rangecroft for Reduced Listening. Music was by Dane Law. Thanks also to the Serpentine team who worked very hard to make the marathon happen.
It's home from work we go.